Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. If there is a theme to today's program, it is sustainability. By some accounts, we toss out about 40% of our food. It goes directly to landfills. And later, we're going to hear about a pilot program in Charlotte aimed at making a dent in the striking amount of food we waste in the United States. But first, climate change. That's something that nearly 100% of scientists agree on, and they agree that human beings are the largest contributor to it. This remains a controversial point of view for some of the adults who run our country, but an increasing number of young people see it differently. It is, after all, their future at stake. They are about to inherit a world that is certain to undergo significant changes if we can't get a handle on climate change, and they are beginning to demand action. Next month, on May 3rd, a youth climate strike is scheduled so that young people can demonstrate their concern for the future of their planet. But for the past 8 or 9 weeks, one concerned climate activist has been skipping school every Friday to sit in front of the government building to demand action on the climate. Mary Ellis Stewart is 14 years old, and she is with us this morning. She's also the vice president of NC Climate. Help me out here.
NC Climate Strike.
I couldn't read my own writing. NC Climate Strike, and a trained leader on the Climate Reality Program, which is a project of former Vice President Al Gore. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Welcome to the program. Good morning to you. She's helping to organize this youth climate strike in Charlotte, and she's not alone. Lucia Paulson is part of that effort. She and Kate Harrison are both the co-presidents of the North Carolina Climate Strike, and both are also with us in our Spirit Square studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you. And in full disclosure, you, Kate, your father works for us. Your father is Steve Harrison. Is that right?
Yes.
From WFAE News. Did he give you any pointers?
Just a bit.
Just a bit. Okay, well, we won't ask what they are, but I'll take them later in the program. When did the three of you first become, A, aware of the problem, and B, concerned about this problem of climate change? And I'll begin with the striker over here who skips school every other day, it seems, because you're here this morning. I'll begin with you, Mary Ellis. When did you first become concerned about this?
So it's part of the eighth grade curriculum at my school that we choose one topic and we do a research project on it that spans the whole year. And so the day before we chose our topics for that project, I had read an article about how climate change was impacting the coral reefs. And I decided that this was a huge problem, that just one article, I wasn't going to know everything about it. And so I decided that I wanted to delve into it for my year-long research project. So I chose climate change. And as I began to read about the issue and understand how dire it was, I realized that I couldn't just sit still and do nothing anymore.
For people who don't follow this, don't care, don't believe in climate change, why is the problem with coral reefs so huge, in your words?
Well, if we let the climate change enough that the Earth warms to above 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, we're going to see mass mortality in reefs worldwide. Coral bleaching is a huge problem, which is when the coral loses a symbiotic algae.
And that's a problem why?
Because coral reefs are one of the most beautiful things in the world. And if we can't take care of them, we can't take care of anything.
And where are we on that scale of where we were pre-industrial to 2 degrees Celsius above that level? Where are we?
We're at about 1.2 right now, but we're on track to hit 1.5 very soon and 2 degrees if we don't regulate it.
So same question, Lucia and Kate. What got you interested in this? Lucia, go ahead.
I would say that both Kate and I have a similar reason, starting in fourth grade with the club Future Problem Solvers, when the topic for the international competition was renewable energy. And that really started bringing us, like, I guess, the awareness for climate change with coal and non-renewable energy and the impact that had on the environment. And it's kind of built from there. Last year, we took environmental science and our science teacher taught us a lot about those issues, and it's tied in to our everyday lives. And when once we heard about Greta Thunberg and her movement Youth Strike for Climate, we decided that we needed to take action, and we started on March 15th and organized a strike in Charlotte.
So 99.99% of the scientists and climate scientists agree that climate change is occurring, and more importantly, that human beings are the cause of it. And nearly 100% of all scientists from all fields are in that same camp. And they all say this is happening, Kate, much faster than we originally thought it was happening. And once again, we are responsible. But politicians here, mostly here, but there are some around the world, don't seem to believe that. Why do you, as a 13-year-old, seem to know more about this than these adults who are running the world?
Well, I remember when I was 6 or 7, I first picked up a book about the world, and it said that the Arctic sea ice was melting and that could potentially kill a lot of polar bears. So I got really concerned about this, and I started reading more about the climate crisis. And so when I was 9, I realized that animal agriculture was the main contributing factor to this. And so I stopped eating meat then. And I've just always been concerned that it's our future that's going to be affected and destroyed by this. And so I've always been really interested in my own future. And I started following Greta Thunberg's speeches and reading the United Nations report.
Are you guys outliers among your peers in school? Or are you far more concerned about this than everybody else? Or is everybody in your age group concerned about this?
Not really. We do have classmates who are part of the North Carolina Climate Strike Board of Directors who are helping us in Charlotte and around North Carolina. But I would say that some of our classmates have been asking us, why do you care? What's the point? You're not going to do anything. You're not going to make any difference.
What about that? What's the answer to that question?
Well, we can. It's not just North Carolina Climate Strike. This is a movement all around the world. We need support of our community to be able to solve these issues. And we're not taking what different leaders are giving to us and saying that climate change doesn't exist. We know it. We've read the United Nations report. We've read Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is Green New Deal. And we know about the facts that in 11 years, some of the most drastic effects of climate change will be permanent. And by that time, we won't be able to do anything about it. We may be adults, but by that time, our future will be decided for us by the decisions of people now.
So, Mary Ellis, you've been on the front lines of this was this the 9th week coming up?
This Friday will be my 9th week.
Where you've spent the day out of school, sitting in front of the government center, protesting inaction on climate change and encouraging action. And I'm sure that people have stopped by to talk to you. And some of them, I know that a couple of city council people have talked to you about this. Do you think they're listening, or do you think they're giving you a nice patronizing pat on the head and saying, oh, what a smart girl you are, and off they go and do what they – into their day and completely forget about you?
I think that I have had a lot of positive response. I've talked to a lot of civilians or citizens that have walked by, and I've actually – there was one that I convinced them to do Meatless Mondays. And so there is some people that are really listening to me, and they're really realizing that, you know, if I'm willing to sit alone in the rain for 5 hours every week, this is something that actually matters. And I think the city council members, I've had a lot of support from them, which I really appreciate. And I know that the city of Charlotte is a leader in sustainability after we got the Bloomberg grant and SEAP. So
all of us, including me, were your age at one point in time, and we all know that youth is optimistic and youth is idealistic, and young people can sometimes see things more clearly than adults because they're unencumbered by adult motivations, which include money. You are among those people, as is the girl that two of you have referenced several times already, Greta Thunberg. She's a 16-year-old activist from Sweden who started this global movement. She started skipping school last summer to protest outside the Swedish parliament. She's since been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And last December, she spoke at the UN Climate Change Conference, where she gave the delegates a tongue lashing. Just listen to this.
Many people say that Sweden is just a small country and it doesn't matter what we do. But I've learned that you are never too small to make a difference. And if a few children can get headlines all over the world just by not going to school, then imagine what we could all do together if we really wanted to. But to do that, we have to speak clearly, no matter how uncomfortable that may be. You only speak of green, eternal economic growth because you are too scared of being unpopular. You only talk about moving forward with the same bad ideas that got us into this mess, even when the only sensible thing to do is pull the emergency brake. You are not mature enough to tell it like it is. Even that burden you leave to us children. But I don't care about being popular. I care about climate justice and a living planet.
Wow. I don't know what their reaction to that was, but they should have been mortified. She has said similar things to other groups of people, and many of those groups of people have said, because she's speaking out and because people like you are speaking out, it has made them more hopeful than ever before. Her response to that? I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. And then I want you to act. Have you spoken like that to our local political leaders? Have you had? It's because that takes guts, it seems to me.
Definitely. I did have a kind of feisty speech. I spoke at the public forum in front of the city council and the mayor because the Charlotte's Environment Committee was merged with two other committees to form the
Neighborhood
Committee. And so I was like, I talked in front of the forum asking for them to reinstate that committee because it is so very important.
Which, of course, they didn't do. So what's your reaction to that?
It's so very important. And Charlotte has been a leader in sustainability. We got a Bloomberg grant, which is $2.5 million to spend on sustainability in our city. And we passed CEAP, which was a historic resolution aiming for a 100% no emissions future in 2030. And so they've made so much progress that it was just kind of a devastating loss when the mayor decided to merge the committees, because the environment right now is such an important issue that it needs its own committee. It needs to stay the focus, because that committee was able to do so much and still has so much that it needs to do.
You've been striking for 9 weeks. These strikes have been going on around the world. There was a global strike in March. There's going to be another one on May 3rd that you're all participating in. A lot of high-profile adults have been critical of students skipping school to strike for anything, including the climate, including British Prime Minister Theresa May. So to the adults who may object to your being out of school to save the planet, you have asked this question. I think it's you that asked this question, Mary. Why should we sit in school and study science when politicians are not listening to the smartest brains in science telling us that we are destroying our planet? I want to come back to that after the break. We're here with Mary Ellis Stevens, Lucille Paulson, and Kate Harrison, all striking for climate. It's Charlotte Talks. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the climate and about the young people striking to gain adults' attention about the urgency of doing something about climate change. These efforts are being led, at least in this area, by the three young women we have with us around this table today. Mary Ella Stevens on Friday will be striking for the ninth consecutive Friday out in front of the government center. She is 14 years old and the vice president of North Carolina Climate Strike. But the two co-presidents are also with us, Lucille Paulson, who is 13, and Kate Harrison, who is 13, and they're the organizers of the Charlotte Youth Climate Strike on May the 3rd. I want to get back to what we were talking about just prior to the break, and that is you've asked the question, Mary, why should we sit in school and study science when politicians are not listening to the smartest brains in science telling them that we are destroying our planet? There was a picture on the NPR website a couple of weeks ago, I think it was probably back in March when the national strike was going on, of these groups of young people in St. Paul, Minnesota, and there was a girl in that photograph carrying a sign which read, "Why should we go to school if you won't listen to the educated?" Damn good questions all around. So how does this situation, as you're out there striking, as you're getting ready for these statewide strikes, how does it make you feel about adult authority figures who don't seem to know what you know, who have no sense of urgency about this like you do? Do you think they're wrong, or do you question your own selves that maybe you're blowing this out of proportion? Kate.
I think that it's our futures that are being decided right now. And to a lot of people, climate change is an abstract concept that exists and is a problem, but is just kind of in the back of a lot of people's heads. And they're not going to not take the necessary action to really combat it. And they're not treating it like a crisis. And climate change is a crisis. And we need to start acting like it's a crisis.
Why do you think they don't think it's they don't see it as a crisis? What do you see as their motivation? Is it a lack of education? Is it ignorance?
The average age of a United States senator is 61.
Yeah.
And the average lifespan is 79. So if we're talking realistically, a lot of these people are on their way out. So they're not going to have to deal with the most adverse impacts.
Okay, but they don't have to deal with it. That's true, because they'll be dead when the worst of it arrives. But what's the point? What are they getting out of being obstructive now?
They don't have to deal with this huge crisis. They don't have to.
It's their job to deal with crises.
Yeah, but they seem to be pretty good at avoiding it.
And I know that I feel like a lot of them think it's a lot of work, and it may be a lot of work, but would it be worth it if we were to put in all this work to save our planet? Wouldn't it be worth it to have your kids, your grandkids, their futures secured for them instead of being worried that this huge crisis will affect them? The thing is, it's really challenging to make people go to farmers markets and get food from there or go and participate in Meatless Mondays. But if we transition to a renewable energy future, then, and all of these other things in renewable cars and transportation, then we will have a better life on Earth.
Several of you have mentioned, I think mostly you, Lucia, have mentioned these Meatless Mondays. I think you referenced them too, Kate, because you're vegan because of climate change. Is that right?
Yes, I'm vegetarian. I'm not vegan.
So the reason for that is the relationship of meat to climate is what?
So animal agriculture actually contributes to about half of all greenhouse gas emissions, because especially cows produce methane, which is a gas much more potent than carbon dioxide. And whenever we're consuming this meat, it's taking a lot of our agriculture, our water supplies, and it's releasing these greenhouse gases that are just we're focusing all on fossil fuels, but a huge problem is also the animal agriculture industry.
So there are people in your movement who are encouraging stop eating meat, particularly cows, And dairy products, because they come from cows, and you need a lot of cows to do this, and the cows produce methane, and the methane is heating up the atmosphere. Why only Monday? Why? Just because it's alliterative?
It's hard for a lot of people to make drastic changes to their lifestyle, so just like kind of cold turkey.
Can you eat turkey, by the way? Is that okay?
I mean, if you're vegetarian or vegan, no, but... But, like, I think we encourage Meatless Mondays because it's just an easy thing that a lot of people can do. And obviously it's going to have the biggest impact if you can go full vegetarian or full vegan. Mm-hmm. But even just cutting down is important. But I would like to add that even if everyone lives the most sustainable lifestyle that they can, even if everyone goes vegan, we still only have part of the solution. We need grand scale action. We need laws. We need a carbon tax. Like, personal efforts are so very important, but it's also, we need grand global action, not just on a personal level. We need legislative action too.
You going meatless, reducing consumption of dairy products is part of the solution, but that's going to impact a major industry in this country. We all burn fossil fuels of some sort. If you drive a car, you're burning fossil fuels unless it's electric. And even depending upon where you are with an electric car, you may be getting your electricity from coal, which is a fossil fuel. Electricity is generated from fossil fuels. Just ending that, reducing that, although it's being reduced because of conservation and LED light bulbs and things like that, is disruption of another several major industries. One thing that you haven't mentioned at all is money. The motivation of people to ignore your protestations about the climate are generated in large degree by money. What about that?
Well, I'd like to add that, you know, it's not just we're destroying this industry, we're also building up another one. If we're investing less and less in fossil fuels, if we cut out fossil fuels, we're going to have to invest in renewable energy, which is solar and wind. And right now,
aren't we doing that?
We are, but we're not at a grand enough scale. And if we want our whole country to have zero emissions, we're going to have to invest in renewable energy. And right now, solar panel installer and wind turbine technician are the two fastest growing jobs in America. So we are building a whole other industry.
You may not know the answer to this question, but are those jobs that you just referenced, are they the kinds of jobs that with training a coal miner in West Virginia could take?
Yes.
Why do you think there's such reluctance to shift toward this? Because there is more economic opportunity in renewable energy. We've done many shows about this. Right now, not tomorrow, not next year, right now, there's more economic opportunity in renewable energy, and yet we don't push people toward it. We don't push ourselves toward adopting it. Why?
Because right now a lot of people are making a lot of money in fossil fuels, and that's the way it's always been. And so people are reluctant to change that.
And people are afraid of instability, of not knowing whether they'll have a job tomorrow. So they want to keep their job. They want to feel secure.
Do you understand that? Because you're a kid and mom and dad support you at the moment. So do you understand that fear of economic instability?
I'd say that in some ways kids do, because we hear about poverty. We know about that issue. And then if we're scared of like our parents losing their job, then we'd experience that economic instability. And we're 13 and 14, and we're coming up on the age when we will be able to get our own jobs, and we will need to support ourselves, and we want to build a base and learn about that more.
So there was an article in the paper this morning about the new bridge they want to build, I think, to the Outer Banks. And they're now saying that maybe we shouldn't build this because the approaches to that new bridge will be affected by sea level rise. This is something that the legislature just several years ago said we can't talk about. We can't talk about sea level rise because that might hurt economic development. Clearly, sea level rise is going to occur. The military has said for years now that climate change is a threat to our national security. It will cause wars. It will cause mass migration of people. It will cause the need for us to rebuild all of our naval bases, because all of them are at what is present-day sea level, which will no longer be sea level when the seas begin to rise. If they won't listen to the military, why would they listen to you?
Well, we're not economicists, and we're not climate scientists. But what we're saying is that it's time for the politicians to listen to the educated. And we're not like begging our politicians and leaders to care about this and to take action. We're telling them that the change is coming, and the youth of today are saying that the change is coming and the change will come, and we will not stop until it does come.
And like anything else, if you get on board in the early days, you stand to make more money than you do if you get on board at the very end, of the tail end of a movement. So you are essentially saying that you, as young people who sit in classrooms every day with educators, are encouraging adults to listen to the educated.
Yeah.
Which is something we seem to demean in this culture today. We don't seem to value teachers or smart people because they're elite. And clearly, they're not as good as the stupid people out there. I'm putting my own political spin on this. But why strike? What's the two of you, or all three of you are organizing this, but you're the two co-presidents. What's the value in taking kids out of school to strike? What are you achieving by doing that?
Well, the whole point of school is to prepare for our futures. And the message of the strikes is that, why are we studying for a future that we might not have with this political inaction that we're having right now? And what's the point of, Greta Thunberg has been saying this, what's the point of learning facts when the most important facts by the most like educated climate scientists are being ignored by our politicians? And that's the message we're trying to send.
Yeah, and we can't vote, but we can strike. And striking gains attention. People notice when you're out of school. They notice when you're in front of a building. And then even if they don't come and have that conversation with you, they've read your sign. The words climate change run through their head, and they're at least thinking about it.
So these strikes will be going on not just in Charlotte, but you're helping to organize these around the state. Is that correct?
Yes.
Where?
So, well, we are working on having a day of action in Raleigh and Greenville. We are still working on organizers, but since the date is coming up quick, we are working on further building our base, and we're trying to create a really strong strike in Charlotte so that we can bring more awareness, and hopefully by the next strikes, we have more people from North Carolina coming together and striking with us.
So these are supposed to be taking place, I understand, in Charlotte, Raleigh, Greenville, Greensboro, Asheville, and Wilmington. Is that all correct?
Well, yes, we're working on trying to find organizing days of actions in all of those places, but we're not having a full-blown strike there yet.
What can people do? I mean, you're encouraging this. Maybe the government's going to take a long time to react to your requests, and that clearly they've been ignoring scientists for quite a while. And we've pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement, although there is some hope that we're still not out of it. There was a sunset date on it that will be in the second term of a Trump administration, if there is one. So, and if there isn't one, we're liable to get back in. But nonetheless, what can people do, ordinary people?
I'd like to say that over the next week, people in Charlotte can participate in what we're going to be doing is a week of challenges to get ready for this strike. So on Sunday, we will be starting with public transportation, and we are hoping that people across Charlotte will only use public transportation for Sunday. Monday, Meatless Monday. Tuesday, we will be asking the people of Charlotte to contact their local, the government center, and talk about climate change and ask about their policies and learn about what they're doing. Wednesdays, we're doing low waste, so try not to use straws, use metal straws, use reusable bags when you're going to the grocery. On Thursday, we are going to be asking you to pick up litter around your community, around Charlotte.
How does that help?
It helps by, well, a lot of people know about how so many of these wasted plastics and trash is going into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have litter lying around, then it's still affecting the animals just the same, which can lead to their death and can also contribute.
What
to
do you, I mean, things are slowly changing. Al Gore started talking about this years ago, and everybody thought he was a lunatic. Not everybody, but a lot of people thought he was crazy. Clearly, he was right. So, what do you think is going to be the thing that moves the needle? Is it going to be young people like you who are beating sense, giving a wake-up call to adults in your lives and adults surrounding you, saying, hey, when this, we have 10 to 12 years to fix this. In 10 to 12 years, I'm going to be 24 to 27 years old, starting my adult life. Do you really want me to live in a planet that you're leaving that's wrecked and climate change is irreversible and it will wreak havoc on my life and my children's life and my grandchildren's life? Or do you want to change things now? What will it be, that, or will it be this ongoing series of weather events like these ridiculous storms that we're having and the fires in the West and the droughts that we've been experiencing and the rise of sea level? What will move the needle?
I think just devastation. I think a combination of all of it. I think a combination of the movement. I think a combination of the devastating weather events. I think just all of it, people are going to realize that this is happening and we can't let it continue.
And I think it's also the community coming together, getting people to listen to us, getting to be on Charlotte Talks, getting the people in this room, getting the people of Charlotte to listen to us and take action. If we come together as a community, we can solve this issue. People are feeling the effects. They know about all these weather events that are occurring in rapid rates that have not happened in all of the history of Earth. And so as long as we are moving together as a community and coming together to solve this issue, it will eventually be something we can conquer.
Have you had a chance to talk to politicians, policymakers? Are people, are your peers who are perhaps closer to Washington or closer to their congresspeople or their senators, had a chance to talk to those folks very quickly?
Yes, definitely.
Is it having an impact very quickly?
And can I note that the U.S. Youth Climate Strike has created a petition with Move On that is asking politicians to meet up and talk about this issue.
That's Lucille Paulson, Mary, and Kate Harrison. They're both co-presidents of the North Carolina Climate Strike. Mary Ellis Stevens is the vice president, and she's been striking for 8 weeks in front of the Government Center for the Climate. Thank you all. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.